The egregious error that I made last week on the podcast. No, not the thing about LeBron's people wanting Luke fired. That was not an egregious error, or was it not false? But my gosh, after seeing Shaggy and Sting and then meeting Snoop Dogg, I got my music all mixed up and I gave a little Shaggy instead of Snoop. I should have been singing Strolling Down the Street. You know what I'm talking about? Smoking, sipping on gin and juice.
Right.
So my apologies to both Shaggy and the Snoop Dogg. What a mistake. I won't forgive myself for that.
Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We've got a wild day here in the NBA, and we're all over it. We're going to skip our normal salutations at the start here. Tim McMahon, our man on the Mavericks, amongst other things, is in the Denver airport. Jackie McMullen is also joining me from Boston. Ramona Shelburne will be joining us in a little bit. She's finishing up re-recording Around the Horn because Chris Porzingis is about to be traded to the Dallas Mavericks, and they had already had their show in the can, have to redo it. But first off,
McMahon. I hate that.
I know. McMahon in the Denver airport, tell us what you know about Porzingis becoming a Dallas Maverick in a stunning turn of events today.
Yeah, well, clearly the Mavericks view Porzingis as a long-term co-star with Luka Doncic. I mean, you know, the way they see this is they're going from Dirk, the greatest European player ever, to perhaps, you know, the next two greatest Euro products. And obviously there's some risk involved with Porzingis coming off the torn ACL. They are taking back significant money in both Hardaway and Courtney Lee. There could be some other pieces involved, but for them, you know, these are Dennis Smith Jr. wanted out. It was mutual. Hey, well-timed triple-double for him in Madison Square Garden. How you like that, Knicks? Oh, you like it a lot? Great. Let's get this deal done. Here's DeAndre Jordan's expiring contract. Here's Wesley Matthews' expiring contract, so they can take back money. And obviously, you know, Hardaway and Lee are serviceable players, certainly, but for them, they have a bona fide, high-ceiling co-star for Luka Doncic, they hope.
This came out of nowhere, Tim.
Long time.
I mean, this is a stunning move. We have Porzingis going in, according to Woj. Porzingis goes in today. The Mavericks were just in New York last night, I assume, had to be talking and laying the groundwork for this. Porzingis basically expresses
Luka and Porzingis yucking it up at halftime.
This happened so fast.
It did, and really everything happened months before I thought it was a legitimate possibility. I was told by somebody with the Mavericks a couple weeks ago, hey, keep an eye on that Porzingis situation in New York, you know. But they were thinking in terms of what's going to happen this summer when he goes into restricted free agency. You know, is he going to be out? Could there be sign and trade possibilities this summer? Obviously, Porzingis got that timeline pushed up with the meeting that Woj and Ramon and Zach Lowe reported on, where he basically told the Knicks, hey, this is, you know, get me out of here. This ain't working. And, you know, the Knicks, you know, they like Dennis Smith Jr. enough. Plus, obviously, them looking at clearing a bunch of cap space for the summer, enough to go ahead and pull the trigger. Now, there will be draft compensation. I'm uncertain exactly how that's going to work because the Mavericks owe Atlanta a top five protected pick in this draft. So my understanding is they can't deal their own future pick. But I'm reaching out to Bobby Marks and trying to get some clarity from the Mavericks on that end. But obviously a huge blockbuster. And for the Mavericks, assuming Porzingis is healthy and you can keep him long term, man, Porzingis and Luka, that's as good a 23 and under duo as I would think you could find in the league right now.
Jackie, let me ask you this. Do you think the Knicks are essentially trading Kristaps Porzingis, the best young player they've had since I don't know when,
right,
for cap space?
Exactly.
Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, the impression I get from the reporting I've done today and from listening to my colleagues like Woj, who's plugged into everybody, I'm not sure they had a choice. Porzingis wanted out. So if you have an unhappy player...
But he's a restricted free agent to be. You have
leverage
there.
I understand that. You have leverage, but you understand that. You understand what it's like. We're seeing this. This is all the dominoes from Anthony Davis. Let's state the obvious. These are all the dominoes falling around Anthony Davis. And I think what they decided, the Knicks decided, was, you know what? Things are happening right now. Let's find out if Kyrie Irving really is unhappy in Boston. Is there a way? Maybe there's a way we can get Kyrie Irving now. And then the Celtics can trade for Anthony Davis now. Now, this is all hypothetical. I can't stress that enough, okay? So maybe if you're the Knicks, that's your thinking. We'll start clearing the space for our dream team, which has always been Kyrie and Kevin Durant, right? That's what we've always heard. So I think the tipping point is this. Kristaps and his brother go in there and say, we're done here. We don't want to be here. You can hang on to us, but we'll make your life miserable, which is seems to be the new blueprint for every big star in the NBA. Except for Anthony Davis, who doesn't make things miserable for everybody, but it has the same effect, right? It's hard to keep a player that doesn't want to be there. How many times have we seen it?
But he, you know, having, and the one thing I think is important to realize is I heard all the Kevin Durant stuff over the last months. The Knicks did not have a full max salary slot to offer. In fact, they were not really even that close. They were going to have to make some trade, whether it was before next week, or whether it was before the July 1st, to offload either Courtney Lee or Tim Hardaway. So this trade, and not only do they offload Courtney Lee and Hardaway, but they offload the max slot that they were going to have to give to Porzingis. So they wipe all of that. So they go from like three quarters of a max slot to two max slots. And essentially what they will have is Dennis Smith, their number one pick. And I gotta believe, by the way, their tankathon is still going on. It would not surprise me if Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan were either rerouted or bought out. They're gonna be gone and then available into the market. They're gonna continue tanking. And so their move now is to have two max slots plus Dennis Smith plus that pick, which they're dreaming is gonna be Zion Williamson, and do it. It's an ambitious plan. It is particularly ambitious for a team that has not closed deals in the past, that has swung and missed, that the last time Kevin Durant was a free agent, couldn't even get a meeting with him. They got a phone call with Carmelo Anthony and tried to pass that off as their meeting with Kevin Durant. So Jackie, to me, they either have some sort of inside information or they're making an awfully big gamble saying goodbye to Porzingis, even if he wasn't happy when they hold all the cards.
I agree 100%. And so what is the inside information? Is the inside information that Kyrie Irving has decided that he's not going to stay in Boston? Now, I've done some reporting in the last few minutes while we were preparing for this pod. I've talked to a couple of people very close inside the Celtics who tell me at this moment, at 4:22 Eastern time on a Thursday afternoon, they have no intention of trading Kyrie Irving. Now, that's at 4:22 on Thursday afternoon. Things are happening here. The stakes are very, very high, and everything could change in a heartbeat. And how could it change in a heartbeat? If, for some reason, Kyrie sees what's going on with the Knicks and says, you know what? Maybe I'll go now. I don't know this to be true. In fact, I don't really believe it to be true based on the conversations I've had with Kyrie and people that are very close to Kyrie. I've sensed frustration. I think I said that last week. I've sensed that he's not, you know, this isn't how he was supposed to go here in Boston, but I have never sensed the notion that, you know what, I'm moving on. I just haven't sensed that. Now again, at 4:23 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon, that could change, but that's where we stand.
Okay, let me speak to that. The Anthony Davis camp believes that Kyrie is leaving the Celtics. And that is why the Celtics have been crossed off the place for where Anthony wants to go in a trade. The Knicks were on that list too, but now the Knicks have taken themselves out of the bidding because they don't have assets to trade. Unless they don't really see how functionally they could do it, because they don't really have anything to trade. Now, is that an attempt to because I've been told that, okay, I hear that, Jackie. Because this is not my first day in the NBA, my detector goes off a little bit there because I say, Right now, Anthony Davis is trying everything in his power to get to the Lakers. And it's almost like a candidate leading up to the election, making promises, doing things that he would never do in a normal situation. Is that something that they're just putting out there to try to force the Lakers into action? But I'm saying that, like, that
message... That
doesn't
mean that there isn't a kernel of truth to it. That doesn't mean there can't be a kernel of truth to it, right? So that's what it comes down to.
Right. So if that message is in my ear, it's in other people's ears too.
It's in everyone's ear, right? It's in everyone's ear that will listen, that they can put it in their ear. And I don't blame them. That's smart business. See, here's the thing. Think about it. If you're the Boston Celtics, everything's going well now. You've won a few games. Everything's good. Life is good. You're creeping up. Indiana's going to drop. You're going to have, at the worst, home court in the first round of the playoffs. You can still move up if everything keeps going the way you think it's going to go, and they do still believe that their trajectory is up, not down or sideways. So everything is headed in that direction. But Kyrie's a different kind of cat. You know that. You covered him. I've covered him. He came out and said, I want to be here for life. Now, that can change. Things change in a heartbeat. We're watching it today. We're witnessing it today. So it's a very, very fragile thing. But at this moment, and again, okay. I got to stress, because of everything that's happening, things can change. At this moment, that doesn't add up. Now, if you're Anthony Davis and his agent and his people and you want to get him to L.A., what better way than to plant stories that Kyrie's unhappy, that Kyrie wants out, that's where I'm coming from right now.
It's delicate. We're in a delicate place. We're in a delicate place, Jackie.
Because people tell us right now what we want to hear. It's kind of funny, right? So both sides, and there's more than one side. There's more than two sides. It's so many different teams involved, and everybody has their own slant and their own self-interest, you know, at heart here. So who do we believe and who do we trust? I trust no one at the moment. I don't know about you.
Right. Okay,
I trust no one.
So, Tim, the Mavericks here have taken – now, just before we go back to that, the Mavericks have taken themselves out of free agency this summer. Their intent, obviously, is to sign Kristaps Porzingis, who will be a restricted free agent, to an extension and pair up Luka Doncic and Porzingis, and that be their core – of their team going forward. Now we've got Yahoo Sports reporting, and again, I'll just echo everything that Jackie said, that we are in a moment here where the information is flying and you have to try to triangulate everything to figure out everything. We've got Yahoo Sports saying that Porzingis does not intend to sign a long-term contract this summer, but instead will sign a one-year qualifying offer, which to me is insane. Coming off of an ACL injury when he hasn't had his big paycheck. But that report is out there. For the time being, let's take the report at face value. What do you think that means?
I think that the Mavericks are going into this anticipating that they will get a long-term deal done with him this summer. He has a good relationship with Luka Doncic. And honestly, why wouldn't a 23-year-old big man want to play for a long, long time with Luka Doncic? So the Mavericks are making
a desirable market, right? Dallas is market.
It's not New York, but it's you know, that's the market he just wanted to leave. He's also got a relationship with Dirk Nowitzki, who obviously can, you know, will I'm sure do his part to pitch Dallas as a long term fit for him, and as obviously a franchise where they've proven that that they can win at least a championship. We'll see how it plays out. I would be very, very surprised if a long-term deal isn't struck between the Mavericks and Porzingis, just because obviously that's what the Mavericks want. That's why they're making this trade. And I just have a hard time, as they're looking for passengers behind me, I just have a hard time figuring out why it would make sense for Porzingis to leave a ton of money on the table this summer instead of committing to Dallas and committing to being Luka Doncic's running partner for, you know, the next 4 or 5 years.
Unless Kristaps Porzingis doesn't want to end up in Dallas. I mean, that's the simple answer, isn't it? That's the simple answer. Now, I don't know why that would be true, but I'm just, that's,
so then it's
that
like,
would
where,
be a common
where, where
sense
is he,
here.
where does he want to go? He doesn't want to be in New York. Why would he not? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. And like I said, you know, I've been wrong before, but that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, when you are the team and you have a restricted free agent, you have all the cards. This is something that's happened over the course of time. We've
right.
seen occasional efforts. Ben Gordon was one of the players, one of the few players who signed the qualifying offer when he could have had more. It's an outlier situation. It's a really outlier situation. Guy coming off a knee injury. The question will be, the Knicks, their intention was to not play Porzingis, I think, the rest of the year. Maybe
right.
in April,
mm-hmm.
they would throw him into a few games. And there was twofold reason for that. Number one, they're tanking. They don't want anybody to help them win. They're taking useful players and benching them recently. And by the way, it's working. The Bulls and Cavs have won some games, and the Knicks now are tied for the worst record. Secondly, you don't want to show your hand with Porzingis. What if Porzingis comes back, looks sensational on that knee, and now you've got four or five teams ready to offer him whatever contract he wants that applies pressure to you on the restricted market? So they had a reason for that. So the question will now become, Porzingis has expressed that he wants to play. In fact, there's been a back and forth during this season about how healthy he is between him and the Knicks. Will the Mavericks look to put Porzingis out there this year and get him some reps with Luka? I'm sure that's something that he would want. I mean, I know we're real early in this, but do you have any feel for that, Tim?
Well, look, if Porzingis is healthy and he wants to play, I think the Mavericks absolutely would love to get him out there. The Mavericks owe the Hawks a top five protected pick. They'd have to do a whole lot of losing to really have good odds of keeping that pick anyway. And the whole plan when they made the deal for Luka was, let's get off of that pick this season. Let's go ahead and get that pick shipped to Atlanta. So the Mavericks they have no intention of tanking. They're trying to build a winning culture. And obviously they want to build a winning culture around the Luka Porzingis combo. So if he's ready to roll, I would be very surprised if the Mavericks don't get him out there.
Okay, Jackie, before we move on to looking at more at New York and Boston here, what do you mm-hmm. think of – let's just assume that Porzingis recovers from the ACL and is a reasonable facsimile of the player who was an all-star before this injury. What do you think of Doncic and Porzingis as the corner pieces in Dallas?
Well, they'll certainly be skilled. It's Euro ball, but you need other pieces around them. I mean – And they have some good young players. I'm maybe not quite as excited as my pal Tim is, because yeah. I just don't know about Porzingis and this injury. And you do need, defensively, not 100% sure how it translates on the defensive end of the floor, but I understand why Dallas did this. I understand it 100%. I would have done it as well. I would take on Porzingis, and I would take the risk. I would absolutely do it.
This is a side note, but boy, Tim, they just thank you very much, DeAndre Jordan. After all that,
I know, right?
Them, the back out. They signed him to a 1-year deal, and they ship him out midseason.
Well, and look, DeAndre. It was an interesting half season with DeAndre. Let's just put it that way. It's funny. when DeAndre put his elbow in his forearm in Luka's back and tipped that rebound away from him, and that got all that, there was all the drama there. You know who that was against? The Knicks.
No.
Yeah, that was against the Knicks. Dennis Smith Jr.'s welt. That was the best time triple-double in Mavericks history for Dennis Smith Jr. But look, obviously they've got to build around these guys. But they've got now two extremely skilled guys. I think Porzingis is a plus defensively. And then you've got to find, three and D guys and probably
well,
another.
Well, they don't have a first. They won't have a first round pick
to go with them.
And now they have Courtney Lee and Hardaway, which were deemed toxic contracts.
But serviceable players. And
well,
yeah,
and remember too, you got Barea out. You lost Barea, and that was a huge blow.
Oh no! Look, I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about, yeah, you know, can they be a playoff team next year? You know, 2-3 years from now, can they make the moves necessary to really vault them into contention in the Western Conference? I mean, if they make the playoffs this year, that's a miracle. That's for, you know, that's, forget that. This
I
have obviously to say, about with 19 and 23, two guys who could have a really bright future together.
When they iced Dennis Smith a few weeks ago and sort of he didn't come back because of the trade and whatever, you know, one of the teams they were talking to was Orlando about Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba is available on the market. The Magic are buyers right now, but discussing Mo Bamba's for a later time. But they were talking about maybe getting Mo Bamba, McMahon, and they end up with Kristaps Porzingis. Now, granted, they're taking on, you know, tonnage and contracts, but waiting and letting the market develop has turned into a home run. And so no matter what happens with Porzingis and his contract, pretty good asset maneuvering by the Mavericks, I would think.
Oh, no, this has been phenomenal front office work by Donnie Nelson and Mark Cuban and the Mavericks. Really, you know, going back to the draft when they acquired Luka, but, you know, and the Mo Bamba thing, if that's a deal they wanted to make, I think that's one they could have made. The Mavericks weren't really high on Mo Bamba. They had Wendell Carter Jr. above him come draft time. Like, if they weren't able to pull off the trade to get Luka, they probably would end up with Wendell Carter Jr., not Mo Bamba. Then I think their prime target with the Magic was Aaron Gordon, and that's, you know, that's just something that I guess the Mavericks weren't, or the Magic rather, weren't willing to do. But no, hey, if you're the Mavericks, at least you have legitimate long-term hope now, and that's something that, quite frankly, a couple years ago and really even going into the draft this year, there wasn't much of in Dallas. They've been an old mediocre team since they won the title. And so now, you know, they've got some promise and some excitement for the future.
Okay, so we're going to say goodbye to Tim. He's going to catch his flight and look forward to that Porzingis press conference. By the way, Woj has a updated report that Porzingis has yet to decide about his future with Dallas and will start the process of getting to know the organization soon.
We have to take a minute and talk about our sponsorships, because this podcast has bills and we need to pay them. So let's get
adios
to that sponsorship read right now.
All right. An ESPN podcast that can improve your love life? That's right. Listen up. Valentine's Day isn't the time for rookie moves. Leave it to the pros at Edible Arrangements. It's the freshest fruit married with the finest chocolate, artfully arranged to make a big impression. And with over 20 decadent Valentine's Day gifts and arrangements to choose from, you don't have to be exclusive. It doesn't make a difference that it's for a special someone, all of your special someones, or someone you feel you love, you share love with, and you can do that all with Edible Arrangements. Stand out from the crowd this Valentine's Day. It pays to plan ahead. Order by February 10th and take off 20% of all pickup orders over $50. Stop by your local Edible Arrangements and experience love at first bite, or order online and have it delivered at edible.com. Now we're back with Ramona Shelburne, who is joining us from Los Angeles. She broke several aspects of this Porzingis story today, including his, I guess, trade request, which was the most successful trade request in NBA history, Ramona, because he got traded within like 25 minutes. Can you share some of your reporting and your insight on why Porzingis did this and why it happened so fast?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is one of those, like, I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me, and then nope, they broke up with him before he could even leave the room almost. They've been gauging the market for Porzingis for a while now, right? I mean, I think that's been obvious that that he's been in discussions with the Anthony Davis conversation. He hears his name out there. He's also out with an ACL injury, so that's part of the problem here. But you know, when things happen quickly, it means that teams have been talking for a while now, and the Knicks and the Mavericks have spoken to each other about Dennis Smith Jr. for a month or two now. I mean, that's kind of been in the discussion for a while. And my understanding is, if you're going to move him quick, they had a pretty good idea of what was out there and what teams would be interested in him. They also had a pretty good idea of what their objectives were, which was simply get something back for him, right? So Dennis Smith Jr. is a former lottery pick that they like. They probably should have drafted him instead of poor Frank Ntilikina. And they also wanted to clear salary cap space, so and get another draft asset back. So it kind of checked all the boxes. And I know the big question everybody has is, what about Anthony Davis? Now, my understanding is that they did call the Pelicans about Anthony Davis. They did discuss whether or not to put Porzingis in a deal there. And New Orleans really wasn't interested. And, you know, if they weren't interested in that, there was really no way you could reconstitute that kind of a deal around Porzingis if they didn't have a fundamental interest in him at all.
Well, they can't, if they don't trade for Porzingis now, mm-hmm. they couldn't trade for him because he'd be a free agent. So the difficulty with Boston, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about in a second, is that they can't trade for Anthony Davis right now at all, as long as they have Kyrie. And New York, they could make a trade offer in the summer, but they couldn't make a trade offer that included Porzingis because he was going to be a free agent. So, if, you know, I'll let you keep going because that's new information to me. I had not heard that. But.
Yeah, I don't think I've tweeted it yet, actually. sent it to the news desk first. I'm like a good corporate citizen that I am. I think that's interesting, right? You know, because that's the big question of like, why did I do this so fast? You know, it's you know, that was the big discussion. I know there were other conversations. I think there were conversations with the Chicago Bulls as well and some kind of other construction. You know, I think Woj tweeted this or maybe Zach Lowe. The Spurs had an interest in Porzingis. But if you're the Knicks, you have a very good idea of what is out there and what types of conversations you could have. And, you know, I think they knew what was, you know, they, in making this deal, they're obviously not doing other deals, but I think they knew what the other deals were, and this was the preferred deal because it checks all the boxes for them. They get the salary cap space, they get back a lottery pick, they get back another draft pick. I think it's a first. I don't know the protections on it though. And it opens up free agency for them in the summer in a way that other deals that they had discussed with teams didn't.
So, Jackie.
So, I have a question if I can, Ramona. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. the cap for free agency, we've been talking quite a bit about that.
Yeah.
Both Brian and I agree that by making this deal and having this cap space, one would assume the Knicks know something we don't. So, we have been speculating what that might be, and I'm curious what you think.
Do you mean in terms of who they would be in the running
why
for?
Why clear all the space? Why give up Porzingis to sign Tobias Harris? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right?
Like
right.
If you whiff on Durant and you whiff on Kyrie and you whiff on Kawhi, and you're left choosing between like Chris Middleton. No offense to Chris Middleton or Tobias Harris, but Porzingis is a pretty good asset to give away for the hope of something. So,
yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out. Do you think they have some kind of...
We're not alone, Jackie. The whole league is wondering.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this for a while now, right? I mean, I think everybody in the league is, you know, is as much as you think that Kawhi Leonard, you know, has expressed a desire to go to Los Angeles, whether it be the Lakers or the Clippers, there's that same talk about Kevin Durant and Knicks, right? I mean, that's been out there for quite some time. Kyrie Irving's always been a guy that people have talked about. And teams have their own people who go and gather intelligence, right? They have their own people who go and look for things. But I think it's even a more fundamental question of do they think they're getting somebody? I think they think they're they have a really good shot at one or two of these guys. But I think what's
also become clear to them is that the Lakers think they have a shot, and the Clippers think they have shots. And
that's right.
It's such a gamble.
But here's the bigger thing: it's not just about who do you think you have a shot at? It's who do you think is not part of your future anymore? And there's been a lot of writing about this, mm-hmm. but not really a definitive deep dive of what happened between the Knicks and Porzingis. But that relationship has been disintegrating for a long time. And it was not just Phil Jackson having a bad relationship with him. This was much more than, you know, him skipping an exit meeting with Phil. This was him and his brother and the other representatives and his camp really not having a great relationship with the whole franchise. And I know David Fizdale had tried to work on that. I know Scott Perry had tried to work on that relationship, but clearly the relationship had never been repaired enough to where they felt like he was going to stay with them long term, or even that they wanted him to stay long term. And then the bigger part of it, which I think is going to be a fascinating part of this, is what is his health situation like? I mean, he's coming off an ACL, but he's had a couple of significant injuries in his young career. He's 7'3". You know, they probably have a pretty good read themselves on how they project his health to be long term. And as
I have another question for you, Ramona. Also, what we discussed before you came on, and when we're talking about Porzingis, and we've been hearing from, I guess, Tim, does he want to play this year? Is that something you've heard, that he's ready to play? We know the Knicks didn't want to play because they were tanking.
What did Tim say to that?
I think did Tim tell us that he thought that he did want to play, that he would play this year if he could, and that the Mavericks would be happy to have him?
Yeah, I mean,
the Mavericks are the opposite of the Knicks. They're de-incentivized to tank because they don't have their draft pick.
They don't have their pick, right?
Isn't it lightly? It's very, very lightly protected, right? Like
their pick is owed to Atlanta for Porzingis.
Top five.
Yeah. It's just a very light top five protection. So, yeah, they're disincentivized to tank. Although, don't you think it just got harder for the Knicks to tank? I mean, DeAndre Jordan and Dennis Smith Jr. are going to help them.
No, I think they're going to buy DeAndre and Wes Matthews out.
I don't think they'll even play for him. Yeah, they won't even play for him. The thing we should point out to everybody is, remember now that the lottery's been weighted differently here.
There's two important things to know about the lottery. One, the top three picks all get the same percentage chance, so there's no difference between finishing third and worst. Secondly, the top four teams are selected by the lottery now. So even if you have the worst record, it used to be if you had the worst record and you got terrible luck, you could have the fourth pick. But because the four teams are picked, you have now you could slip the lowest is five. The other thing is that there's a big difference in the percentages in terms of finishing 11th and in terms of finish, the next sort of layer, you want to get down to like 7th. It's not like before where the percentage differences between 7 and 11 and 12 weren't that much. You were really incentivized to be in that top three. Now there's layers, you're really incentivized to get down, which is one of the reasons why I think the Pelicans should tank, not play Anthony Davis if they don't trade him. Because the Pelicans, I think, have the 8th or 9th worst record now. They really need to get down to 5 or 6. Okay,
and so how amazing would that be, though? Just think about how amazing this will be. Let's just play long and say that they don't trade him before the deadline. They want to protect their asset because he is now their most valuable asset, and you are going to trade him in the summer. And you sit this one of the top five players in the league and refuse to play him. Doesn't the league have to step in at some point?
Jackie, it's a terrible situation because tonight he's going to be named an All-Star. He's going to be named an All-Star for the New Orleans
Pelicans. And he's
going
to play. Yeah. He's going to play in the All-Star game, too.
I mean, is the only game he's going to play the rest of the season the All-Star game?
But if you're Adam Silver, don't you have to step in?
It's terrible. And the other thing is this. This has major wide-reaching, implications. So one of the things, and this is getting into the weeds, but it's not nothing. If Anthony Davis doesn't play the rest of the season, he will not make the All-NBA team. By not making the All-NBA team, he opens up another slot for a player to make the All-NBA team. A guy like Karl Towns. If Karl Towns makes the All-NBA team this year, due to his contract, he gets $30 million more. Or another player could make the All-NBA team in Davis's spot and become eligible for the Supermax. That's why
Adam Silver will have to step in. He'll just have to.
What we have here is, Kevin Arnovitz uses this word. We have a creep. So, I don't mean Anthony Davis. You know, it used to be that if you were a free agent and you were gonna leave, you would kind of tell your team maybe at the trade deadline before you became a free agent. Then it became the summer before you were a free agent. Now, it's two trade deadlines ahead.
Yep.
I mean, how soon are we going to be three trade deadline? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's creeping backwards, and we've already got all these players in exile. You know, Carmelo is in exile, and Chandler Parsons in exile, and J.R. Smith is in exile, and Dennis Smith Jr. was in exile for a little bit. Maybe Anthony Davis is going to be in exile. Maybe Kristaps Porzingis was going to be in exile. I don't think this is good. And I don't, you know, I'm pro player. I want the player to be able to control himself. But at some point, you know, we're 18 months, we're a season and a half out from Anthony Davis's free agency. But let's swing back, and I want to talk about the Anthony Davis trade implications. So Ramona's saying that the Pelicans passed on the Knicks offer, which makes sense to me. Why would the Knicks trade Porzingis anywhere before getting a no from the Pelicans? It's a good report, and it's also a report that makes a ton of sense. So if the Pelicans don't want the New York offer, and I don't think they want the L.A. offer, Ramona. I mean, there's been reporting out
of L.A.
Doesn't
sound like it.
So well, tell me what you know about that first. What do you know about?
So, you know, the Lakers, I think what's been obvious for a long time, essentially, is that, you know, if the Lakers were to make a Godfather offer, everyone but LeBron James would be available, right? Like that's the best they can do is everyone but LeBron. You know, it's not so much pick two out of these four. It's, you know, everyone is available. And they didn't necessarily, I wouldn't say that, you know, this is our offer, right? It was a conversation where that message was conveyed, which is essentially, if you're willing to deal him, if you're willing to talk about this, then everyone on our roster besides LeBron James would be available. That's common sense. I think that's something that we knew before he asked for a trade. We knew yesterday. We knew today. But now that base
I feel like some Lakers fans are surprised. Like, of course, he's a top five player. Of course the whole team is available.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I know, from sources have told me, the Pelicans are not interested. They're not interested in any of it. They're not interested in two first-round picks and all four young players. They don't like the Lakers' offer. I mean, I hear teams complain to me nonstop, and I know that they complain to you, too, about the Lakers cheating. They tamper, blah, blah, blah. You know, the Spurs.
That's all I've heard. All week.
But you know what? All that wouldn't matter if the Lakers had more premier assets. If the Lakers had better assets to offer, nobody would care about that tampering nonsense. They would make the deal with the Lakers. The Spurs didn't make a deal with the Lakers, not because they don't like the Lakers.
Yep.
They didn't make a deal with them because they don't like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma as much as they like getting Danny Green. And this is the thing.
Of course. Yeah.
It seems pretty transparent to me if they said no to New York's offer, whatever it was, and then I'm hearing that they're not interested in L.A., it seems pretty transparent to me, Jackie and Ramona, that the Pelicans want to do a deal with Boston.
Of course they do.
And they're going to wait. But I think there's a lot of people out there who think that the Lakers are going to pull this off. And I just don't think that's true.
I mean, the Lakers feel like people tamper with them. I mean, they're feeling essentially it's like, you know, I know the whole rest. They know the rest of the league hates them, obviously. They know the rest of that everybody thinks they tamper. It's at this point. I mean, Brian, I don't know how you are with reporting with the Lakers, but like you literally you can't even text anything because anything you send at this point, you have to assume is going to be part of a league investigation. Right? Anything you text, right? Like whenever they do or don't do a trade, like somebody's cell phone records are going to be turned in. Like I don't want my cell phone records turned in, right? And I don't want things that I'm sending or texting to people trying to get information is, you know, a part of that. But that's the level of scrutiny on them. I mean, last year I had a report about this, like they sent a note to all team employees, like making sure that they didn't even say anything on any broadcast, on any social media. It was like sent from ownership and you will be fired if you do this. Like that's the level of scrutiny that they're under.
Yeah. And you know, some of it's unfair, obviously. And a lot of it's jealousy. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear, because all the players want to go to LA and that's always been the case. And that will always be the case. But I think there is the unfortunate history with Irvin, since he joined the Lakers. And so that's why people like to point fingers. So they've earned some of it and some of it is unfair. That's life in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it does come down. Boston is, you know, let's see what happens with Boston. This Kyrie thing is fluid. That's what I would say about it. Ramona, before you came on, I was telling our listeners that I had spoken to more than one person in the Celtics organization that insist at this exact moment. I said it earlier, it's now 5:01 p.m. Eastern time, that they have no intention of trading Kyrie Irving, that they're not trying to trade Kyrie Irving. And as far as they know, and this is the part that could change, that Kyrie Irving has no interest in going anywhere else at this exact moment. Mm-hmm. Now, that could change in the next 24 to 48 hours. It absolutely could. And we have to say that because things could change. Now, things are already changing very rapidly in the landscape. The stakes are so high for the Lakers, for the Celtics, for the Pelicans, for everybody in the league as they watch it. That's how important Anthony Davis is.
Talk about high stakes, Jackie. We have to pause for commercial interruptions on some platforms. But while we do that, Brian, can you tell us about that superstar player that also wants to get traded that no one knows about?
We just can't talk about it yet. I mean, we'll have to see how things go and whether we get authorization.
And we're back.
Qualify it. So Kyrie Irving came out before the season in front of thousands of people in Boston Garden saying, I am going to be here. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said, I am going to be here. Then he did a commercial on the court underneath the banners, and he said in the commercial, I want my number up with those numbers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He isn't just on the record. He is virtually in blood, although he hasn't signed the contract yet. So, Jackie, does Kyrie have to come out? Now, he hasn't been available to the media in the last few days.
Right.
Because he's been injured. Does he have to come out in the media and make another statement to verify this just because of this speculation going on out there? What do you think has to happen here?
Well, you know where the Celtics are playing tomorrow, right? Tomorrow night
at Madison Square Garden.
I know. It's so good.
And, I doubt Kyrie's going to play.
Let me guess the New York media might have a question.
I doubt he's going to play, and that I don't know that he was going to play anyway. I think the whole plan was to have him miss these, you know, once he had the hip issue, to miss the three games. He missed Charlotte, and I expected him to miss this game Friday in New York anyway. So that might be a moot point. It's a good question, Brian. If I were Kyrie Irving, as annoying as this is, and I'm sure it's annoying to him because everybody is reporting where he wants to go, the idea that he wants to go back and play with LeBron, which has been sourced and reported a bunch of times, which flies in the face of everything I've been told. But again,
however,
who do we trust?
He brought that on himself.
He did. And you and I, we were on the podcast talking about what was his motive with that whole thing with LeBron, the mea culpa. We don't need to review that again. So I'm sure the Celtics would appreciate it if Kyrie would come out and say, all right, y'all, you can be quiet. I'm here. I'm going to be here. I plan to stay here. Nothing has changed. Now, the problem is that it's been a little frustrating. I was at the game Saturday when they lost to Golden State. Kyrie had a magnificent game. He did have two key turnovers at the end of that game, probably tried to take on a little too much himself. And I think that's because at this moment, sometimes he feels like he has to. I don't think that's how he envisioned his time in Boston. I know in talking with him, he thought he and Gordon Hayward were going to anchor this incredible Celtics team that had a lot of young players coming up, and then a veteran like Al Horford, who was just going to make sure everybody was right where they were supposed to be. Clearly, the weak link in that whole scenario now has been Hayward, who's just, it's painful at times to watch him struggle. He had a decent game Wednesday night, but it's up and it's down, and it changes the landscape a little bit, because I think we can all agree that if Gordon Hayward doesn't get back to where he was, or let's even say to 70% of where he was, both mentally and physically, I stress that because I think in my work with mental health, there's a post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a real thing when you have a catastrophic injury. It's real. And players struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And they struggle with it for a while. So Gordon is sort of the X factor, and it feels a little unfair to put it all on him, but he really is the key to whether they're going to be this number five seed that we're watching go up and down and up and down, or they're going to be better than that. So if you're Kyrie, you're like, man, this isn't what I was expecting. This isn't what I envisioned. And some of the young guys run the wrong play. I mean, at the end of that game against Golden State, they had a full timeout, TV timeout. They're drawing up a play. They get on the court, and Jaylen Brown goes to the wrong spot. Are you kidding me? Now, he's been on a tear. He's been playing great. But that's the kind of stuff. But that's the kind of stuff that drives Kyrie and the other veterans crazy, okay? So all this makes Kyrie, he's hurt. He's a little hurt. He's frustrated. I mean, physically hurt. But does that translate into, you know what? I'm out.
I would be stunned.
I'll be stunned.
Ramona.
Can we have a larger discussion, though, guys? Like, this is what I keep thinking. I mean, all this, we're all having the same conversation, which is about players wanting to determine their own destiny. There's player agency, this idea of where are they going to be happy? Where are they going to, where do they want to flourish? Where do they want to sign? And generally that process is called free agency, right? You usually wait till a guy gets to free agency and then there's a courting process and we make pitches and presentations. But this magnitude of players that we continue to discuss, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, who name Kawhi Leonard, is so important now. They're so important to franchises that we simply cannot let players get to free agency anymore, right? Like, I guess LeBron James is the most recent outlier of this, and he's almost too good. You know, too good to fail. Like he's too good to trade pretty much ever, and he had a no trade clause. But if he didn't have that no trade clause, like I don't know. I think the Cavs may have had to think about trading him, even though he took them all the way to the finals.
Whatever you want to say about LeBron, you cannot say that he didn't give his every season his all. He never pulled the plug in the middle of the year. His last year in Cleveland, his first time around, they won 62 games. He didn't play well in the playoffs, okay. But he had 20 rebound game in his last game. Mm-hmm. His last year in Miami, he was magnificent.
All right, wait a minute. Brian, shenanigans. Haven't done this for a while. But there was a time, you've forgotten last season, when they traded their whole roster remember? Right?
Yes, but
there was a stretch where LeBron
was pouting.
Okay, so don't tell me he was giving his all because he wasn't. He was pouty. And he wasn't playing defense. None of them were. So I'm sorry. He retired from defense several years ago.
I would say though.
He was pouting.
He was pouting because he wanted that year's team to be better.
Doesn't matter why, Brian. He wasn't playing the way he should have been.
That said, he had one of the greatest playoff performances of his career last year, all the way down to the wire until he punched the blackboard, which is another thing. But I mean, what Ramona's describing is like I'm fine with the players having agency, but this is an issue at the league level,
right?
With guys not playing out their contracts, and on the other hand, I can say. Like, if you were to ask the Cavs in 2010 and you were to ask the Thunder in 2016, or any of these other teams that had guys walk away with nothing, you could say that Anthony Davis is being as forthright as he possibly could to the Pelicans by giving them this information now and giving them the opportunity. So, like, in a way, they're not trying to be jerks. They're actually trying to be honorable. But the issue for the league is you sign a guy for 5 years.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to worry about him in 3.
Right.
I don't know. Right. I don't know what the answer
is.
These aren't
guys that are signing as free agents. These are people who were drafted and then, they signed extensions off the rookie deal, which they're incentivized to do. But, outside, I guess LeBron would be the opposite of that, right? But he went to Cleveland as a free agent. But most of this is guys who are coming off their rookie deal extensions, and this is really the first moment where they have time to determine their own destiny. I mean, Kyrie Irving requested a trade, and he got traded, and he was okay with going to Boston, but he's never gotten to free agency like this. And I understand what the problem is, that these players are so, superstar players are so important to franchises and in the league that you just simply cannot risk losing them for nothing. But it doesn't make them bad guys that they want to go. It doesn't mean that.
Oh no, of course not.
Evil is a.
But I think the difference here, Ramona, with Kyrie is, as Brian pointed out, he makes a Nike commercial. He's telling everybody he's going to stay. And by the way, the reason he didn't re-up with Boston is simply mathematics. It's financial.
Right.
He would have been an idiot to re-up with them last summer. He's got to do this summer because he deserves the most money he can get. And as Brian says, having a career year, they chant MVP every time he walks in the building. So if he leaves now, it'll be pretty, if he were to leave this summer, I think it would be pretty shocking.
Okay, can I play devil's advocate?
It's the same thing as Kevin Durant, though. I mean,
yes.
Go ahead, Brian.
I agree.
So let me play devil's advocate. Kyrie's having a wonderful season. Maybe the best season of his career. Okay?
I think
it is. Let's put that on the board. The Celtics are in fifth place. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kyrie is not super close slash fond of his young teammates. His young teammates are not super close slash fond of him. I talked to scouts this week who watched the two games that they play without Kyrie, and they say, now granted, they weren't against the Warriors and Raptors, but you know, they go, the young kids are skipping up and down the court. They're having so much fun. Rozier plays well. Jaylen Brown plays well. Tatum plays well. There's clearly an issue there. I'm not pointing blame at one side or the other because, as you said, Jaylen Brown messes up from time to time, and Kyrie, the guy with the ring, gets frustrated because he knows what it takes to win at the highest level. But we have definitely a bit of a disconnect between the young guys and Kyrie.
Well,
okay, they're in fifth. They're in fifth place. Okay,
okay, but I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you there because you're right. Two of the guys, yes, but not all of them, and not Tatum. They're actually pretty close. As you know, they're both Duke guys. They're both represented by the same agent. So be careful about putting Tatum in that conversation.
Okay, fair point. So if the Celtics are just a little skittish, let's say they're only 80% sure Kyrie is going to stay. Okay? Would Danny Ainge, being Danny Ainge, at least think about trading Kyrie Irving now and then flopping around and going and acquiring Anthony Davis? Because if you trade, and I'm not saying that you would trade Kyrie for Anthony Davis, that deal doesn't work because Kyrie's staying in New Orleans.
Right, let's say
you traded Kyrie to a third team, picked up assets, picked up nice pieces, and then went out and got Anthony Davis by next Thursday. Is that anywhere on the board for trader Danny, who is never afraid to trade anybody or roll any dice or be ahead of a situation?
I think it's a very legitimate scenario, especially at now 5:13 p.m. on a Thursday night. I think it's a legitimate scenario. I can tell you at this moment, it's not. I'm sure they have to consider it because they have to consider that 48 hours from now or 72 hours from now, Kyrie Irving may walk in there and say, you know what? You want Anthony Davis. I want to do X. But what I'm telling you is at this exact moment, that hasn't happened yet. Now, Danny Ainge would trade anybody. He's proven that. He traded Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Are you kidding me? He will trade anybody if he thinks it makes his team better. But I think given the choice, he'd prefer to keep Kyrie, wait for the deadline to pass, and then add Anthony Davis. I believe that is his preference.
Right, because they can still walk, they can still have both of them if they wait.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Ramona, there's no reason why not. No reason.
I mean, I think what's interesting is he's their guy. So if you should have the best information and intel and feel for what your own guy is going to do. Right? I mean, right, Jackie?
I think they feel like they do. But as you know, Ramona, because things are changing, so could that intel change, right?
And I think when you look at what's going on, okay, so we're talking about Anthony Davis, and every single question, Brian, I get asked on every TV or radio interview or whatever it is, podcast, is why won't the Pelicans deal him now? If the Lakers were to make that Godfather offer, does that get the deal done? And you and I we've all covered the league so much to know that the amount of things that can change between now and the draft is, I can't even start counting. I mean, when you woke up today, did you think Kristaps Porzingis was going to be a Dallas Maverick?
No
right?
way.
I mean, I knew that I knew there was an idea that they might trade him before this deadline, but wow, did that happen fast, okay?
It sure
did.
So
look at the teams that are trying to win this year. Philadelphia, Toronto, Denver, Houston, all of these teams are trying to win this year. Only one of them will. And the teams that don't win this year, that now creates an extra level of pressure. And players that you would never even dream of becoming available might be available.
Exactly.
And shakeups. Like, what happened to the Raptors last year? Would you have thought that they would not only not have, they would fire their coach and trade DeMar DeRozan and end up with Kawhi Leonard? I mean, my goodness, there's so many things that can happen between now and then. And so if you're the Pelicans, if you're Boston, if you're forecasting this stuff out until you absolutely have to make a decision is very difficult, and you have to do it at a time when you don't have all the information. Boston at least has the advantage of dealing with its own player, dealing with a guy they should have a feel for, dealing with a guy they can flat out ask right now, how are you feeling? Exactly.
So,
and you know what else I think too? The draft order matters, right? If you're the Pelicans and you're going to have to rebuild, which is stating the obvious, don't you want to know what the number one pick is, who it is,
or
let me put it differently, so you want to know where Zion Williamson, who's going to have the rights to Zion Williamson, who's going to have the rights to RJ Barrett. That's added information that you can afford to wait on. So why wouldn't you?
So Ramona.
Right.
Yes, Andrew.
I wanted to know from all of you if you thought that this is going to be the biggest trade before the deadline.
No way.
Hmm.
The Porzingis trade, you mean?
I mean, it depends on,
yes.
Like, let's say Mike Conley gets traded to the Jazz, okay, which is possible. That would be a gigantic trade for the balance of power in the West. It may not cause everybody on SportsCenter to stop. That would be a massive trade. So,
this is the most surprising trade. I would say this is going to be the most surprising trade.
Well, right? What if Kyrie gets traded?
Well, but now we're talking about it. Like, now anything's possible, right? The Anthony Davis dominoes are all toppling.
So, Ramona, let me just ask you this, because mm-hmm. I really do sense that the Lakers fan base believes that they're going to get this done. Do you think they can get Anthony Davis? I would never rule anything out, but I don't
I would
think
never rule anything out, but I don't think they're going to get him. And I think if New Orleans wanted to make that deal, they would have done it already, right? I mean,
and they could make the same deal. They can make the same deal in 3 months.
Yeah, with more information once you know who has which picks, right? I mean, where does Atlanta figure into this? Where will Dallas figure into this? Well, shoot, you could just go ahead and trade Porzingis again, right? I mean, is it because he's restricted? Maybe you can't. Can they trade him again if he's restricted? If he sends that qualifying offer, I guess. And now I'm having to do this on the fly.
No, yeah. They could trade him again. He couldn't be aggregated with other players like he just was, but they could, in theory, trade him again. But they couldn't They couldn't trade him after Thursday.
And who's to say whoever ends up with Anthony Davis doesn't trade him again?
That's correct. a huge thing. There's a whole rental market that could happen. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And so think in terms of, I just look at it. If I'm New Orleans, I don't trade him now. I wait until I have more information about which teams have which picks and which players are truly available. The playoffs will start to clarify some of that. And so I just don't think there's any incentive, not to mention the fact that they seem to be carrying the banner for not just small market teams who are losing their superstar, but any team that is losing its superstar, right? Whose superstar wants to leave. There's a real pushback in the league against players, doing the AAU thing, saying, I want to play here and not with you anymore. And having agents put trade requests in. I mean, the teams don't like it when you do that, especially when they become public, because then they lose some leverage. And I don't think New Orleans was probably ever going to get to a place where they could trade Anthony Davis unless he went public with that trade demand, because it's just hard to trade a guy like that. It's hard to trade a player as talented.
I know it's self-evident, but I think we should just pause and say it. I was texting with a guy who works for a team who is in first place in their division today. In first place. And when this stuff, the Porzingis stuff was literally going down as I was texting with them. And he's like, wow, all this stuff is happening and we're not involved in any of it. And I go, dude, you're in first place. And that's where we are in the modern NBA. The team, and this, by the way, this isn't some fan. This is a guy who works for the team. And that's the NBA that we're in right now. And this Anthony Davis trade, and Zach Lowe has gone so far as to say it's the biggest potential trade since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but already we're seeing just in three plus days, what's happened since Anthony Davis made a trade demand. This is a major moment in the NBA.
It is, but it's not even close to Anthony Davis being traded. It's nowhere near a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being traded.
Since Kareem.
Okay, good.
I mean, Shaq going to L.A.
That was big.
LeBron going to Miami and back to Cleveland.
Huge.
Those were free agencies. Right. Those were pretty gigantic. But it just shows how destabilizing and how wide open it is. Ramona, you did a great job with your reporting today.
Bravo, Ramona.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie. thank you, Josh, back in Bristol. Thank you, Ramona. Thank you to McMahon, who was in Denver Airport. More to come.